Our scripture text this morning is compound. Both texts will be taken from the Gospel according to John. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And reading from John chapter 10, verses 22 and 23. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Now on December 25th this year, folks will be celebrating one or two holidays. Christians in the West celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the entrance of God our Savior into the world he created. Jews, both Orthodox and Messianic, observe the beginning of Hanukkah at sundown, also on December the 25th. All Christians, Jew or Gentile, may celebrate either or both days, but only to the glory of God the Son. As it is written, one person esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. Now, both holidays involve lights and candles, and so we are reminded that Jesus, the light of the world, has come to deliver men from their sins. So now we shall trace the light through the scriptures and also through history. Pay attention, friends, for all these points focus on light, namely Jesus Christ, our light. Now, 1400 years before the birth of Christ, the prophecy of the unique star that the Magi saw was given. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel. Long lay the world in sin and error pining. But Isaiah, over 700 years before Christ, gives hope. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed, as when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward more heavily oppressed her by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan and Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And in another place, Isaiah writes of the plan of the triune God for the peace and the salvation that many call their own. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. During the silent years between Malachi and Christ's coming, God accomplished a deliverance for his people Israel. Hanukkah came into being, and we mention it because Jesus himself celebrated the eight-day feast. It says so in the gospel. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. So not only did Jesus go up to Jerusalem for the three appointed feasts, the spring feasts, the Pentecost, and the fall feasts. But we also find that our Lord himself went up to Jerusalem to observe the winter feast, the feast of dedication, better known as Hanukkah, which comes from Hanukkah, C-H-A-N-U-K-A-H, which is the Hebrew word meaning dedication. In remembrance of the rededication of the temple in the days of the Maccabees, in 165 BC, on 25 Kislev, corresponding to our month, November, December. Associated with lights, and sometimes called the Feast of Lights. Now, this is the only Bible mention of this feast, but it is significant that Jesus observed it. The apocryphal book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 4, verses 52 through 59, gives us the historical narrative of those events which took place just as they had been prophesied by God's prophet Daniel. Early in the morning of the 25th day of the ninth month, which is the month of Kislev, in the 148th year, they arose and offered sacrifices, the law directs. On the new altar of burnt offering which they had built, at the very season and on the very day that the Gentiles had profaned it, it was dedicated with songs and harps and lutes and cymbals. And all the people fell on their faces and worshipped and blessed heaven who had prospered them. So they celebrated the dedication of the altar for 8 days and offered burnt offerings with gladness. They offered a sacrifice of deliverance and praise. They decorated the front of the temple with golden crowns and small shields. So if you get any of those around your house, you can go ahead and put those right outside by your windows, right? And they restored the gates and the chambers of the priests and furnished them with doors. And there was a great, very great gladness among the people. And the reproach of the Gentiles was removed. And then Judas and his brothers and all the assembly of Israel determined that every year at that season, the days of dedication of the altar should be observed with gladness and joy for 8 days, beginning with the 25th day of the month of Kislev. And that is according to the day of the Hebrews, evening and then morning, beginning at sundown in Jerusalem. This feast was and still is a pilgrim feast. And it was winter, the beginning of the rainy season throughout Israel. Snow would appear on the mountains, but it is predominantly rainy conditions in the lower lands of Judah, making it difficult for travel. It also made a good feeding for the sheep. We also note that Luke records that there was much green grass in Luke chapter 2 in verse 8, allowing for the possibility of the birth of Jesus Christ in this season as well. Moving forward, Zacharias would prophesy of the Christ child, saying, "With which the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Now there were in those same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." We read also of the story of the Magi who had versed themselves in the prophecies of the ancient scriptures, that written in the law of Moses and that written in Daniel. And so they had come from the east saying, "Where is he who had been born king of the Jews, who has been born king of the Jews, who have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him?" And when they had heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Friends, this was no ordinary star. Ordinary stars don't appear and disappear, and they certainly don't do those things directly over a particular place. This was the unique messianic star spoken of by the prophets. And as Paul would say, we know the rest of the story. "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." And so we reflect on the light of the Savior's coming, and we enjoy our Lord in this present season. We live in our earthly city, a town, with all of the dark things of this world in it. But this Christmas, should the Lord tarry, he has granted you to shine your light in the darkness yet one more time. Friends, the best part of the story, we might argue, is that we know how it ends. In the heavenly city which awaits those who believe. But for the unbeliever, the skeptic, the prideful one, the scripture makes no distinction. It is the worst part. Of the heavenly city, we read that it is written, "The city had no need of the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its what? Its light. The Lamb is its light. Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, is the light in the heavenly eternal city where we one day hope to go. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. For if the Lamb is its light, and in him there is no darkness at all, how then could the darkness exist if the Lamb has overcome it? And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it, but there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And that's why Jesus tells his disciples, don't rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. And so, friend, in order to do that, in order to attain to that reservation, if you haven't done so, make your peace with God today. Simply believe these things that we have presented this morning, that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and that God sent his Son 2,000 years ago to enter into this world as a babe, to accomplish those things which were necessary for you to have a restored relationship with God, and he did this before we were even here. Because he knew that one day we would be. And that because of our sin, we were blocked, shut out, among those who defile, among those who practice abominations, liars, and thieves, and reprobates of every sort. But Jesus Christ, having come into this world, lived a perfect life, satisfying God's wrath against sin, died to pay the penalty for it, not for his own sins because he had none, but for yours and mine, and rose again. And today is seated at the right hand of the Father, awaiting that day when he lights up that city, and all of those who believe of all dispensations will enjoy his presence. But today, if indeed you have the Spirit of God in your heart, you can enjoy the light of the world in this moment. And every time you see a light, every time you see the sun rise, every time you see lights decorating a tree or a home, anytime you see candles in the window or in your kitchen, or your living room, or your bedroom, even your bathroom, offer up a prayer. Thank God for the light of the world, because if it was not for him, there would be darkness only. And Christmas is only the beginning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son to come into the world and to be the light of the world. Lord, illuminate our hearts and our lives if there be any dark caverns of sin or unbelief. Lord, give us a good inspection, good military inspection of our hearts, that the sin therein might be confessed, forgiven, and purged. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you for loving us so much that you would send your Son into the world, your only begotten Son, that we might not perish, but that we might have the light of life. Lord, thank you for your Spirit guiding us in this place. And may you call to our remembrance each and every time that we see any kind of light in the coming days and always, that our thoughts might be directed to the light of our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.